Welcome to our service for the great festival of Pentecost, which we used to call Whitsun, and is sometimes called the birthday of the church. Of all the days when I wish we were together, this one is perhaps the most frustrating. Today is a fifth Sunday, and I was looking forward to a united celebration of Pentecost with all our churches. Still, we are together in spirit, and today especially, bound together by the Holy Spirit of God. Our first hymn is Come Down, O Love Divine.
Peter said, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Come, let us return to the Lord and say,
Lord our God, in our sin we have avoided your call. Our love for you is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes away early. Have mercy on us. Deliver us from judgment, bind up our wounds and revive us, in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Collect for Pentecost. God, who, as at this time taught the hearts of your faithful people by sending them the light of your Holy Spirit, Grant us, by the same Spirit, to have a right judgment in all things, and evermore to rejoice in his holy comfort, through the merits of Jesus Christ, our Saviour, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first reading is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, beginning at the first verse. When the day of Pentecost came, all the disciples were together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were, staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Here ends the reading.
Darlleniad o lythyr cyntaf Paul at y Corinthiaid. Ac ni all neb ddweud Iesu o'r arglwydd, ond trwy'r ysbryd glân. Y mae amrywiaeth doniau, ond yr un ysbryd sy'n ei rhoi. Ac y mae amrywiaeth gweinidogaethau, ond yr un arglwydd sy'n ei rhoi. Ac y mae amrywiaeth gweithrediadau, ond yr un Duw sydd ei'n gweithredu pob peth ym mhawb. Rhoddi'r ymlygiad o'r ysbryd i bob un er lles pawb. Oherwydd fe roddi'r un, trwy'r ysbryd, lefarid oedd uneb. Un arall lefaru gwybodaeth yn ôl yr un ysbryd, un arall roddi'r ffydd trwy'r un ysbryd, un arall ddoniau iachau yn yr un ysbryd, un arall gyflawni gwirthiau, un arall broffwydo, un arall wahaniaethu rhwng ysbrydoedd, un arall lefaru a thyfodau, un arall ddehongli tyfodau. Ar holl bethau hyn, yr un ar unrhyw ysbryd sydd yn ei gweithredu gan rannu yn ôl ei ewyllus i bob un ar wahân. Oherwydd fel mae'r corff yn un, a chanddo lawer o aelodau, a rheini oll er ei bod yn llawer yn un corff, fel hyn y mae Crist hefyd. Oherwydd mewn un ysbryd y cawsom i gyd ein bydyddio i un corff, boed yn Iddewon neu yn Roegaid, yn Gaethweision neu yn Rhyddion, a rhoddwyd i bawb ohonom un ysbryd i'w yfed.
Thank you.
In pure lives thy service find, in deeper reverence praise, in deeper reverence praise. In simple trust like theirs who heard beside the Syrian sea, the gracious calling of the Lord, let us, like them, without a word, rise up and follow thee. Rise up. Sabbath rest by Galilee, O come of hills above, where Jesus knelt to share with thee the silence of eternity, interpreted by love, interpreted by love. Drop thy still dews of quietness till all our striving cease. Take from our souls the strain and stress, and let our ordered lives confess the beauty of thy peace, the beauty of thy peace. Breathe through the heat of coolness and thy balm. Let sense be dumb, let flesh retire, speak through the earthquake, wind and fire. O still small voice of calm, O still small voice of calm. May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I always think that the person on the rotor to read the lesson on the day of Pentecost has drawn the short straw. To amuse yourself in this period of lockdown, why not go online and try to find out where all those places were that he or she has to read out? Parthia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Cyrene and the rest. In the first of these online services, 8 weeks ago on Palm Sunday, we said that the Christian church was born in the 8 weeks between two great pilgrim festivals, Passover and Pentecost. It is Pentecost today, and in our reading from Acts, we see Jerusalem thronged with people from all round the Mediterranean and beyond. In those 8 weeks, we've travelled a little out of time, taking in places as far apart as the Ponte Sant'Angelo in Rome, the Parthenon in Athens, as well as the sheep and cattle fields of Ireland and Wales, watched over by the spirit of St. Brigid, the great Irish saint, caring for the cattle and the lambs. In a sense, that list of countries on the day of Pentecost is prophetic. It tells us that the Christian church, which is truly brought to birth at that first Pentecost, will become a movement for all peoples everywhere. We saw in Athens also that the church's mission was, from the first, carried out in dialogue with paganism and with all its many major and minor gods, but that the pagan philosophers like Plato, who emphasised the importance of God's oneness, laid the groundwork for the extraordinary success of the gospel in those early days. In our second reading today, we find ourselves in another pagan city on the shores of the Aegean. St. Paul is writing to the Church of New Christians in Corinth. If you read the passage carefully, you will realize that he is still conscious of the pagan tendency to think that God is plural. It is quite clear that people in the church in Corinth were still thinking of different spirits doing different things in their lives and in the life of the church. And so Paul finds himself having to emphasize that there is only one Holy Spirit. It is just that the one Spirit works in very different ways in individual people. There are varieties of gifts, he says, but the same Spirit. Wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, prophecy, discernment, tongues and their interpretation, all these are activated by one and the same Spirit. In one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, he writes, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. I wonder what you think when you hear someone described as spiritual. It's worth reflecting a little on what we know about the 12 men on whom the Spirit fell on that extraordinary day in Jerusalem. There were at least 4, possibly 7, Galilean fishermen, followers of a hard, sometimes dangerous trade from the unfashionable north of the country. There was a tax collector, Matthew, a man from a completely different way of life, who had probably been despised as a quisling, a collaborator with the Roman occupation of Judea. While on the other side there was a zealot, Simon, a member of a movement which advocated violent resistance to the Romans. St. Paul wasn't there that day, of course, but he, as we know, was a tent maker, another artisan. When you looked at these men, spiritual is probably not the first word you would have used to describe them. But the wind blows wherever it pleases, says Jesus. You cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. There are many gifts to many different personalities, but the same Spirit. I love the breadth of meaning of the Welsh word hwyl, which you might find applied as often to a warrior or a rugby player as to a singer or a poet. There is something similar about the Spirit of God in the Bible. Sometimes the wind is a gentle breath, sometimes it is a mighty hurricane. The same Spirit that inspires Samson in his battle against the Philistines is the Spirit that touches Mary's heart as she anoints Jesus' feet at Bethany. You cannot look at someone and think that they are not spiritual just because they do not conform to some notion of ethereal otherworldliness. And more importantly, you can't look at yourself that way. On the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God did not so much broaden the horizons of the apostles as explode their vision of the world into which Jesus had sent them. Don't limit yourself to too narrow an understanding of your calling. You are a child of God, baptized into one body, and born of the Holy Spirit of God. You have unique gifts which he wants you to use in the service of all and to express so that you can most fully be the person he created you to be. Jesus said to his disciples, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Ein tad, hwnwyt yn y nefoedd, sancteiddio'r enw, dylid y deyrnas gwneli'r dewyllus, megis yn y nef, felly ar y ddear hefyd. Dyroi ni heddiw ein bara benyddiol a maddau ni ein dyledion, fel y mae ddiw ninnau ein dyledwyr. Ac nac arwain ni brofedigaeth eithi'r gwared ni rhag drwg, canis eiddo ti o'r deyrnas, a'r nerth a'r gogoniant, yn oes oesoedd. Amen.
An opening prayer. Holy Spirit, we see your power in lives transformed, hearts on fire. We listen for your still small voice, comforting, guiding, calling. Holy Spirit, we praise you. Amen. The Spirit came and your church was born in wind and fire and words of power. The Spirit came blowing fear aside, and in its place weak hearts were stronger. The Spirit came as your word foretold, with dreams and signs, visions and wonders. The Spirit came and is here today to feed the hearts of a world that hungers. We give thanks for the birth of your church on this day of Pentecost, empowering your followers to spread the word to all the world of the good news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We pray on this day of Pentecost that the fire that was lit then will burn bright in the world today, changing selfishness to selflessness, greed to giving, enmity to friendship, hate to love. We pray for our very broken world, so full of conflict and self-interest. We pray for our world leaders, that they will work together in a spirit of harmony to tackle the problems of this pandemic, and that no country, small or great, will be forgotten. May there be a willingness in the world to help all those nations who also suffer shortages of food and clean water. We pray for a change in the hearts of the leaders of nations who seem to focus on power for themselves with little regard for the needs of their people. We ask you, Lord, to be with those researchers and scientists who are working to find a vaccine for COVID-19. We pray for a spirit of cooperation and sharing of information between all the different research groups. We give thanks for all the medical staff working on the front line fighting the virus. We pray for their safety as they work long hours, putting themselves at risk to help others. We give thanks for all support workers in hospitals, care homes, and in the community. Loving God, we give thanks for the work of local shops and communities, assisting with the needs of both frail and elderly, and all who are confined to their homes. May their work be a blessing for the lonely and giver alike. We pray for the fellowship of our six churches at this time when meeting together is not possible. We pray for all those known to us in our church families who have serious health issues. We pray for their healing in mind, body and spirit. A closing prayer. The day draws slowly to a close. The sunset beckons as the wind becomes gentle. The earth is quiet and all becomes still. We look to the heavens to see the wonder of your creation and give thanks for all that you bring to us on this day of Pentecost. As we drift into sleep, let us give thanks to our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, for his endless love, and we pray that this world, with all its illness, sorrow and division, will in time heal and become the world you created it to be. Amen.
On this festival day, it's especially hard not to be able to take Holy Communion together. But as we listen to Bernadette Farrell's communion song, Bread for the World, feel free to take bread and wine in your home as an act of fellowship.
People who thirst, may we woo Him.
May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you, wherever he may send you.
May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm.
May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you.
May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great Shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, and work in you always that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest upon you and remain with you always. Amen. Amen. And now for our look on the bright side. We've had some fun in this slot with the brilliantly funny poetry of Les Barker, who lives in North Wales now and writes poetry in Welsh. Comic poetry, indeed any kind of comic writing, is a really demanding art form. It requires a precision that is difficult to master. For our look on the bright side today, though, we're going to hear a comic poem by a poet who actually wasn't trying to be funny. Or at least, we don't think so. This is the 19th century Scottish poet William Topaz McGonagall. All the evidence from his own writing about his work suggests that McGonagall was trying to be a serious poet, but he somehow contrives a special kind of awfulness that reverses into comic gold. This is The Railway Bridge of the Silvery Tay. Beautiful railway bridge of the Silvery Tay, with your numerous arches and pillars in so grand array, and your central girders which seem to the eye to be almost towering to the sky, the greatest wonder of the day, and a great beautification to the River Tay, most beautiful to be seen, nearby Dundee and the Magdalen Green. Beautiful railway bridge of the Silvery Tay, that has caused the Emperor of Brazil to leave his home far away, incognito in his dress, and view thee ere he passed along en route to Inverness. Beautiful railway bridge of the Silvery Tay, the longest of the present day, that has ever crossed over a tidal stream, most gigantic to be seen, nearby Dundee and the Magdalen Green. Beautiful railway bridge of the Silvery Tay, which will cause great rejoicing on the opening day, and hundreds of people will come from far away, also the Queen, most gorgeous to be seen, nearby Dundee and the Magdalen Green. Beautiful railway bridge of the Silvery Tay, and prosperity to Provost Cox, who has given £30,000 and upwards away, in helping to erect the Bridge of the Tay, most handsome to be seen, nearby Dundee and the Magdalen Green. Beautiful railway bridge of the Silvery Tay, I hope that God will protect all passengers by night and day, and that no accident will befall them while crossing the Bridge of the Silvery Tay, for that would be most awful to be seen, nearby Dundee and the Magdalen Green. Beautiful railway bridge of the Silvery Tay, and prosperity to Messrs. Bouche and Growth, the famous engineers of the present day, who have exceeded in erecting the railway bridge of the Silvery Tay, which stands unequalled to be seen, nearby Dundee and the Magdalen Green.